Several essays in my book, In the Midst of the City, have led to spirited and challenging interactions with readers, either in person or online. As recently as this past week, I had a fruitful debate with someone over the book's essay on gun regulation. Other essays that have sparked the most conversation focus on Southern monuments and the 2016 presidential campaign. No surprise there. By the way, In the Midst of the City is still available for sale in the Cathedral bookstore. You can purchase your copy and schedule a debate with me too. Last year, when the book was being prepared for publication, I asked several people to review it. A single essay in the book irritated one reviewer, and to my surprise, the essay was not one of the usual suspects. Neither immigration nor human sexuality provoked a response. Rather, the chapter that irked the reviewer was my essay on Mary and Martha. So let's hear the gospel today again. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." In my book's essay, I faulted Martha for her busyness, and the book's reviewer reacted defensively. I get that. I'm really busy, and so are you. And we put a premium. We often judge our very worth and the worth of others by the gauge of our busyness. Now, if you doubt it, recall the favorite and most often retold story from Dean McGeehee's tenure here at the Cathedral. In the middle of a worship service, as Pittman was coming down the center aisle, an unknown woman in a blazing red pantsuit leans over and claims that she's Jesus. Or at least that she sees Jesus, depending upon which version you believe. Then Pittman gets back to the altar and he asks Canon Logan, "What if she really is Jesus? What should we do?" To which Canon Logan responds, "Look busy." Canon Logan speaks for all of us, always, but particularly with this story. If the Lord returned, we would do our best to appear as if we were actively, busily engaged in productive and constructive tasks, whatever that is, for each of us. It is the old Protestant work ethic in a 21st century guise. The more our wheels turn, the more worthy we must be. And as we run and run and run to get done all the things that need getting done, Jesus' words to Martha wound us. Jesus seems neither to understand nor to care what our real lives are all about. Closer look at the gospel text reveals, however, that nowhere does Jesus indict Martha for the tasks she undertakes. Martha's engaged in hospitality, after all. She's opening her home and providing sustenance to weary travelers, including Jesus himself. Her busyness, more often than mine, most of the time, is truly laudable. So then, what is at the heart of Jesus' critique? Martha, Jesus says, you are distracted by many things. Jesus is not, it turns out, unempathetic toward Martha. Jesus, whose own ministry keeps him busy at a frenetic pace, is concerned for her. But it's not the value or even the quantity of Martha's tasks that are the locus of Jesus' concern. He's concerned about her distraction. What is distraction? Well, the most comical image is of Doug, the talking dog, in the Pixar film Up. Doug can be in the middle of any conversation and suddenly, squirrel! He finds his attention diverted by whatever happens to catch the corner of his eye. We laugh, but a bit uneasily. Distraction prevents us from being truly attentive to what is before us. It keeps us edgy and uncentered. It's that background voice saying, hurry up, in the midst of even our most important moments. That inhibits us from being truly present to any experience. Distraction may be the most common attribute in our lives. The author Philip Simmons developed Lou Gehrig's disease when in his mid-30s. And as his body slowly failed, he learned to pay attention to the world around him. But first he became, for the first time, deeply aware of his own distraction. He says, quote, seems it's always time to be doing something other than what we're doing in the moment. While reading in your chair, you find yourself thinking about last night's argument with your spouse. You're thinking it's time to rake the leaves, check your email, get some sleep, get to work, pick up the kids, feed the boa constrictor, water the chickens, exercise the gerbils. Simmons' litany is intentionally ridiculous because so are the things that we allow to distract us in our lives. As his illness progressed, Simmons remained very active, busy even. But he learned, no matter where he was or what he was doing, to be attentive to the present moment. He says, quote, the present moment, like the spotted owl or the sea turtle, has become an endangered species. Yet more and more I find that dwelling in the present moment, in the face of everything that would call us out of it, is our highest spiritual discipline. More boldly, I would say that our very presentness is our salvation. The present moment, entered into fully, is our gateway to eternal life. You might say, I want my eternal life now, before it's over with. Well, Philip Simmons is more right than he knows, friends. You see, when Scripture talks of eternal life, we mistakenly interpret that as the afterlife, as where we go when we die. Now, if you are distracted, I mean, even as you sit in the pew, and if you remember nothing else that I say this morning, remember this. That is not what Scripture means at all. Eternal life in the gospel means the life lived in awareness that all moments are embraced and enveloped by God. That's worth hearing again. When Scripture talks about eternal life, it is not talking about the afterlife. Eternal life in Scripture refers to the awareness, the life lived in awareness, that all moments are embraced and enveloped by God. It is the character of being in which we have the opportunity to participate not only or primarily after we die, but now. It's the awareness into which Jesus invites us whenever he speaks of eternal life. It's the awareness that Mary enjoys and Martha fails to grasp, because the greatest enemy to it is distraction. What does participation in eternal life look like? Philip Simmons offers this, quote, "Dwelling in the moment, on our breath, on the works of our hands immediately before us, we're drawn into life's luminousness, into the mystery at the heart of ordinary things. Dwelling in the present, at least at first, involves forgetting the past and the future, stopping the mind's whirlwind of memory and expectation. With further practice, we may find that the past and the future return to our awareness, only now, without bringing the anxiety or distraction along with them. Instead, we become aware of living in eternity, knowing that this moment has found its proper place in the stream of all time. When we feel this way, the present moment enlarges, draws the past and future into it, until we are dwelling not just in the moment, but within the whole of life. We feel in touch with life's unchanging essence, the bedrock beneath the flowing stream. We enter the eternal life beneath the surface of this passing one." Now, not long ago, Junior Warden Andre Jackson told me, without, I think, realizing the depth of what he was saying, that this is a major difference between parenting and grandparenting. For parents, at least for this parent, even in the most tender moments with our kids, we are constantly thinking about the next thing, distracted from what is right in front of us. Whereas the grandparent, at a different place in life and with a better understanding of life's transience and fragility, savors the present miracle of the grandchild, soaking in the blessing of her presence in the world. This being truly present to the present moment, whether it be active or still, is the one thing of which Jesus speaks in the gospel today. It is our only need. The better part, without which life is incoherent and unsteady and always off center. With it, we enter eternal life. Even now, we encounter and connect with the God who grants us the miracle of our presence in the flow of time and in this world of grace. Amen.